famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Oh, wait a second, man, before I forget. I blew this last night, if you pardon the expression, blew this. And I will not blow it again, man. Okay.
What did you blow?
What I blew,
I'm sure you blew.
You know, Bud, just because the word B-L-E-W appears in someone's monologue or opening statements or any statement that one may make during a radio show or any other time in life doesn't mean you have to go... You know, there was a character by the name of I forget the name of the character, but he laughed at double entendre. It was in Viz.
What is Viz?
Well, it's a British humor magazine, and they had this kid who laughed at every double entendre he heard. Every time he heard someone say, "Well, I'll just go ahead and stick my flag in it," he laughed. If he heard anyone say, "I'm going to climb that mountain," he laughed. You know. And Bud, you are the American version of this kid, you know. So I say I blew it, and you're all.
Yeah, man. God, you're trying to tell me you aren't thinking the same thing? I just say the things that people are thinking.
Well, now, Bud, don't be assuming certain things. When Phil said he blew it, I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, thank you very much for that.
What did you blow? I'm trying to find out.
We forgot to turn on our tune-in stream last night. But it's on now. It's on now. And all apologies to all of my... Here I am telling everybody we're on TuneIn. Listen to TuneIn. It's on TuneIn. TuneIn this, TuneIn that, TuneIn until the cows come home. Or the cow comes home, depending upon which comes first, one cow or a group of them. See, Bud, maybe one of the cows killed all the other cows and only one cow comes home. Did you ever think of that?
That's a good point, man. Are you kidding?
Yes. Anyway... And here we are on the air last night, and the tune-in stream had not been activated and duly authorized and duly, if I may say, the last name of one of our guests this evening, Bobby, who interviewed today the Sklar brothers, Jason and Randy. What a fantastic time everybody had. I was able to sit in on that. What a blast.
And, oh, the Sklar brothers are all right. I was just talking to Nikki about them. They are very funny.
Very funny, and they have a podcast called Sklarborough Country. And you see them on all kinds of television commercials. You also can see them on a forthcoming comedy special that they are shopping, if you will, toward to a lot of other networks. Either one of the comedy networks or Netflix. Must be nice, I'll tell you.
Well, what do you mean it must be nice?
Well, it must be nice to have that kind of heat, you know. Been a long time for us, man, I'll tell you that.
Oh, would you stop?
Long time for us, man.
Now, wait a minute, Phil. My understanding is you have an animation project that is being sought after by people.
Well, we have an animation project, and we're going to see just how many people seek our animation project. However, getting back to the Sklar brothers, so they were on today, and that was a blast, and that's how I was reminded of the Sklar brothers by saying the name Dooley, and by Dooley, I was mentioning Dooley reporting to you the fact that we did not open up the tune-in stream.
Hey.
Well, that was way to tie that together, Phil.
Thank you very much. All right, the big news here that I am going to kick this program off with tonight, it's an area of life that really bugs me.
Now, this, I want to say something before you get going. By the way, I'm Margaret Gray. Phil still forgets to introduce the crew here this evening. Not that I care about the others, but...
Well, see, I was going to praise you, but you're going to go ahead and throw us to the wolves, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not throwing anyone to the wolves. I just want everyone to know I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Levin.
And I'm General... Hey, can I say?
Go ahead.
I'm General J... God...
Well, what's the matter?
I was going to mispronounce... I mispronounced my own name.
General Galen Shaw.
General Galen Shaw is my name. I wanted to say it, not you. God.
Well, you said it, General.
And Margaret, I'll thank you. If you're going to say that, let's introduce the panel.
I didn't say let's introduce the panel. I introduced myself.
By the way, before you guys hijack the whole radio show, hi, I'm Phil Hendry.
Well, you already said that.
No, Miss Ready to say hi, I'm Phil Hendry to begin at all. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I'm going back over my notes.
Will you never mind the notes? Okay, everybody happy?
I'm happy for now, but my jaws are a little tight from this one here saying, I wanna
introduce myself. How dare you mock me?
All right, wait. If I am not introducing you guys, I'm sorry. General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray.
Well, Phil, don't go rushing through General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray. General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray. And I think what you should do is tag it with Margaret Gray, pain in the ass.
You know, I didn't get out of the third grade for your bullcrap.
All right, people, is this the way it's going to be?
No, it's all right.
I can deal with him. Don't worry about it. It's when this one here with the plate in the head, that's the part that really gets me.
All right. What are you looking at, Robert?
They have that lady on again.
Well, they're going to keep having that lady on, man. It's a series of public service announcements against cigarette smoking, and they really found themselves a poster girl for that. That poor woman who died at the age of 53, and they show her post-operative after losing part of her jaw, her lungs, a hole in her throat, chemotherapy, no hair. I mean, the poor woman is barely alive. She's almost a skeleton. And they're leading up to that with pictures of herself as a young girl. Yeah, it's supposed to shock you. It's supposed to shock you. It's supposed to shock you out of cigarette smoking.
And yet you said, and I heard you say it on these airwaves, that none of those kinds of commercials ever frightened you.
They never had those kind of commercials. When I was smoking cigarettes as a ute, all the way on through to the day that I quit at the age of 57, the worst commercials they had in terms of that sort of content, I think they would show you what a lung looks like with cancer. And that never, it never registered with me. It never registered with me. The other, I'll tell you one of the things that actually that worked against that kind of advertising as a smoker. When I smoked, most of my smoking life was spent, I would say most of my cigarette smoking I did under the age of 40. So I was a relatively young person when I did most of my smoking. I started smoking when I was 14. I was a teenager. I was in my 20s. I was in my 30s. And by the time I got into my 40s, I began to make serious efforts at trying to quit. Never anything too successful until I finally did quit. But every anti-smoking commercial you would see showed you people who were victims of smoking. Hello, I'm so-and-so, and you know, I lost a lung, or this or that. I remember John Wayne died from lung cancer. I remember, you know, there'd be a famous person that would die. But they were all much older. And so I made the connection in my head, cancer, dying from smoking, and all of those diseases actually equated to cigarette smoking, but also advanced age.
Oh, so you thought you had to be a heavy smoker, but also old.
Yes, yes. I think, in my mind, you had to have a lot of cigarette smoking in your life, but also you had to have packed on a few years, and the combination of those two things. I think that's what happened to me, because it never really bothered me. I just, those commercials didn't have any effect on me. The thing that got me to quit smoking, as I've said a million times, I got sick. I wound up in the hospital. I had double pneumonia. I was really, really sick. And I laid there, I'll never forget, one night, as they had the respiratory therapist was in there, there was a nurse drawing blood. I was listening to this alarm going off over my head that goes off when there's not enough oxygen getting into your blood. And the thought occurred, all of these people and the respiratory therapist and one of the pulmonary doctors that come in had been fans of my show. They listened to my show when they were in school, when they were studying to become a doctor and become a respiratory therapist. And they would say, Mr. Henry, you know, we used to listen to you. And I remember thinking, these guys are now fighting to save my lungs. You know, not that they're doing it for free, but the fact is they're professionals and I'm, look what I've done. You know, look what I've done to my,
So it got that heavy. It got very heavy. It got very, very,
Bobby, did you cry and everything?
No, I didn't cry and everything.
It sounded like it was very poignant.
Yeah, was it poignant?
Yeah, it was poignant, all right, man. How'd you like me to go ahead and just drive this right into your face, man? This hand, your face, bang, put it all together, and what do you got? Butt ain't too good looking no more. Yeah. So, that's what got me to quit smoking, but not any commercials showing some lady, with all due respect to that poor lady with a hole in her neck. All right, coming back, we've got a story for you, man. I don't know why these kinds of stories bug me, but they do. Some woman got arrested for jaywalking. Now, the reason why she got arrested for jaywalking was because the cops were giving out jaywalking tickets, and she didn't stop for her. She kept right on jogging, so the cops had to slow her up and try to give her this ticket, and she resisted arrest, and she wound up getting thrown in the police car. So it wasn't so much that she was arrested for jaywalking. She was arrested for being a major raging a-hole. So we're going to find out about that when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Do we have Jay Santos lined up for this? I try to get Bud.
Don't think we got Jay Santos. I'll see.
Well, who do I told Bud, I said, I want to get a guest lined up for this. I thought maybe it was Jay. Who is it, man? Jay's going to be on for that Mexican guy that got busted, right?
Yeah, I got Jay Santos on a drug lord.
You don't need a guest on a jive-ass jaywalking story. Are you kidding?
Well, okay. I mean,
why do you hear? You can interview me. I'll be the guest.
Well, No. It's not like that, man. I got to have...
What do you need? You need someone who's authoritative? Is that what you need?
I guess. You know.
Let's get on like a cop or something.
Well, forget it. It's not that important. Let me explain this story first. It happened in Austin, Texas, and I showed the video. I would show it again, but it would only really be for the benefit of the Phil TV viewers. I showed the video before we went on the air for our subscribers. There's a corner or an intersection in Austin, Texas, where they're handing out jaywalking tickets. Why? Who knows? Maybe there have been accidents. Maybe a pedestrian been run over. Maybe cars are zipping. Who knows, you know? But they were handing out jaywalking tickets. Now, there's some guy sitting on his ass at Starbucks with a video camera. I shouldn't say sitting on his ass. Some cat who works at the Daily Texan, which is the student newspaper, and he catches on video a woman. He doesn't get this until after she's arrested, but there's a woman that runs through the intersection going against the red light. The cops go to stop her or to flag her down or to whistle her down or what have you, and she doesn't stop. She keeps on running. According to all of the witnesses, which I personally don't buy.
Now, this is the part that's interesting.
Well, hold on for a minute. According to the witnesses, she couldn't hear them because she had on headphones. I don't buy that, and I'll tell you why.
Why don't you believe that?
Hold on. I'll tell you why. I think she ignored them because when they stopped her finally, the police officer said, which nobody's going to believe the cops. Everybody's going to believe some guy sitting at a Starbucks with his thumb up his ass and his camera, but the cops don't believe them. The cops said that they were clearly visible to this woman and she refused to stop. Now, the reason why I believe it is when they finally did stop her and attempted to issue her the citation, she refused to accept it and she tried to take off on them. And that's when they grabbed her and essentially restraining her, put her into cuffs, and we're placing her under arrest for, you know, whatever, interfering with the duties of a police officer, resisting arrest, or what have you.
Why? I don't understand, Phil. Why do you believe? So, in other words, what does that prove?
It proves to me that she already had something going on inside of her head, like she wasn't going to deal with these cops. In other words, when you say to me, oh, gee, I didn't hear the cops, okay, all right, maybe she didn't hear the cops, they stop her, they say, we got to give you a ticket for jaywalking, and she says, no, I don't want that ticket. That seems rather coincidental that, oh, it just so happens I didn't hear you. Now I've stopped for you, and now you want to give me a ticket? No, I don't think I want the ticket. I'm going to keep on running. To me, if you put the two together, it makes much more sense that she purposefully ignored them as she was running. They finally stopped her, and she continued with her obstinance, if you will, and refused the ticket. But be that as it may, what really proves my point, okay?
Well, now, Phil, I just want you to know, I'm on your side. And I think Margaret's she's playing the devil's advocate as a liberal, and I understand you're a liberal, Margaret, but it doesn't mean you've got to hate cops.
I didn't say that I hate cops. I'm saying what made Phil think that this woman did that on purpose.
I just explained it to you.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you'd have to make a better case.
What better case do I need to make? The woman didn't stop for the cop. The cops... Anyway, so the cop stopped her, and he says, here's a ticket for jaywalking. You went across the red light. No, I don't want that ticket. I'm not going to take that ticket. I'm going to keep on running. Well, now we have to stop you, and now we have to sit you on the ground, and now we got to put handcuffs on you because now you've turned this into a federal freaking case. Giving a ticket is not an admission of guilt. You understand that, right?
Are you asking me that?
Yes.
What do you mean it's not an admission of guilt?
You're not saying you're guilty.
Hold on, I'm asking Phil.
You're simply agreeing to appear on the charge of jaywalking. The police officer believes that you were guilty of this. This is why he's written out a citation. But ultimately, it is the judge that will decide, And so you are offered an opportunity to go before that judge and to say, no, I wasn't jaywalking, here's what happened, or you can pay the fine and be done with it.
Well, it all sounds like it's very much twisted against the citizen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, those jaywalking tickets, man, that's some real police state stuff, I gotta tell you.
Well, it's not police state, but it is kind of interfering in the liberty of man.
You gotta be kidding me with that.
Are you nuts or something, Dickman? Boy, I oughta... You know what, Dickman? I oughta stick the...
Yeah, that's true, man.
You oughta stick what?
I oughta stick something down your throat just because of that.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about jail.
Well, you know what? There comes a time in every man's life.
All right, enough of your, you know, jail punk talk there, General.
Jeez.
Don't be shocked. I can tell you there's a lot more where that came from when I hear this kind of stuff.
So,
General, you're really scandalizing me and I think everyone here.
So, the cops give her this, or attempt to give her this ticket. She doesn't want the ticket. So they place her under arrest. Now, when the cub reporter from the Daily Texan finally picks up the story, he's got pictures of her sitting on the ground in handcuffs and being pushed down onto the ground by the cop because she's attempted to get up. Now, all of this looks like these terrible, terrible cops have put handcuffs on this woman, and all she did was jaywalk. Do they have to do that? Well, that's not why they were doing it. Finally, when they put her in the car, she starts to scream like she's getting open-heart surgery without anesthetic. I mean, she's screaming.
What? Are you? She's screaming as if she's in pain.
Yeah, she's... I could play it for you. That part of the tape you can hear very, very clearly. She's screaming. And I hear that, and I'm going, this woman is mentally unbalanced. I mean, you don't scream your guts loose if you're being loaded into the back of a radio car or a police cruiser and you're being arrested. I don't know how you got to the point of arrest, but even if you're being arrested, you don't scream like it's a like you just saw the Manson family coming for you, man. You're not screaming like you just saw a ghost. And she's screaming, and she sounds unbalanced. And again, the Daily Texan, they got all of this stuff. And there's a kind of a there's a field of this reporting that I've seen before, and it's essentially this: we got it in for cops. Let's go ahead and report it this way, and that's how it is.
Now, why are you so pro-police officer? I just want to know.
Why are you anti-police officer?
I am not anti-police officer, Phil. I'm wondering why you readily accept their version.
I'm not readily accepting. What I'm doing is analyzing it for myself, okay? If you pardon me, I'm not going to take this guy's word for some guy. You don't want me to take the cop's word for it. Fine. Why do I got to take this photographer's word for it from the Daily Texan? This guy's imaging, this guy's pictures pick up. They don't show the arrest. They don't show any more of this arrest than what the police claim happened. And this guy claiming something else. This guy said some innocent woman in his blog. But there's no photograph of that. There's no videotape of that. Nor is there from the police standpoint. So I got to take his word for it? Okay? And I don't take his word for anything, not even his videotape. What I do believe is it's pretty weird to say that this woman was innocently jogging across the street and happened to go against the red light and didn't hear the cops when they flagged her down. But once she is flagged down and they attempt to give her a ticket, she won't take the ticket and tries to run off or otherwise resists this to the point where, you know, she's arrested. Unless you want me to believe, Mr. Daily Texan, that this woman was given this ticket, she signed it, and then the cops just for laughs decided to arrest her and throw her in the back of this car, which I ain't buying. I'm just not buying that. I'm sorry. I'm not buying that any more than your version of the Daily Texan version of her being this, you know, innocent bystander. I'm not buying the fact that here's your ticket. And you know what? You just, I don't know, there's something about your looks, lady, the braided hair or your fat ass or something. I think we're going to arrest you anyway. And you're under arrest for having a fat ass.
Arrest her for a fat ass.
Are you saying she had a fat ass? Because what I'm worried about here...
Oh, Margaret, why don't you let it go?
No, I'm worried about the prejudice, the bigotry of the fat... If she has a fat ass and she got thrown into a radio car for that, I want to know about it.
Well, we'll call the Austin PD and find out. How about that?
I'd appreciate that.
Not. So,
There's a guess. Gotta call him up.
Gotta call up the Austin PD and ask him, do you arrest people for having fat asses? Which would probably be, the response would be, if that were the case, half the city'd be in jail.
Hey.
Thank you. So that's all there is to that story, you know. And I predict this. I predict the whole thing is going to come out. It's going to be a big, big fat zero of a story. Except, see, I just like following these cub reporter. I like following these Woodward and Bernstein wannabe types. I love these guys, you know. I love to follow their big story. Remember that guy that got tased at the University of Florida, and he turned out to be just a slob, just some punk face who deserved it.
The guy that said, don't tase me, bro.
Yeah. Well, I think the same thing's going to happen here. I think we're going to... All of this sympathy came out. There was a little bit of outpouring of sympathy for what's-her-face, or for what's-his-face, Tase Boy. I think there's an outpouring of sympathy for this fat ass, and we'll find out. We'll be back. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Is that who we're... I'm very, very proud to have you on, Jay. Bud?
Yeah, you said go get a guy. Went and got him.
Well, he got Jay Sanis.
All right, I understand that. Jay Sanis with us. We're asking Jay about jaywalking. That's interesting. We got Jay on talking about jaywalking.
That's right. And I suppose what I should say at this point, I did hear some of the buildup. I do understand how if you wanted to have a legitimate, what you consider to be a legitimate police officer, we certainly do that, Phil.
No, Jay. It was that I was going to have you on later talking about the drug cartel chief being arrested in Mexico.
Well, that's true, and we can certainly talk about those interdictions which necessitate a lot more firepower and are certainly more of a threat to the public. But I'm just as comfortable talking about what I think is a very dangerous situation when people decide that they have no need to stop for a red light. They can walk against a red light, do whatever they want, do as they please, go where they want to go. Because an automobile hitting a human being, not only is that going to destroy that human being, but Phil, that human being's body, once it has struck, can very much and very often does do, goes up in the air, bounces once or twice off the hood, and can go right through the windshield. And when a human body goes through a windshield at a fairly moderate, even at a moderate rate of speed, the people inside that car are at risk. And I can assure you that if you have a child sitting next to you while you're driving that car and that human being goes through the windshield, you're not going to laugh anymore next time you hear about a jaywalk.
I'm not laughing at all, sir.
Yeah, I don't know who you're referring to.
Well, I'm referring to some of the people in your studio who I heard going, ha, 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 and hee, hee, and, you know.
I didn't do anything.
Well, who specifically?
I don't know. I don't know the voices. I don't know that. I'm not familiar. It's not necessary, but I hear people say, well, it's not too significant. Well, I got news for you. If you see a human being go through a windshield, you think it's significant.
Well, I resent, Jay, if you're saying it's me. Is it me?
I don't want to comment.
All right, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to keep belaboring this.
Well, hold on for a minute, Jay. You're making a point. It's a good point. Who among this crew of people was belittling the things you were saying?
I don't know. I really wouldn't be able to say, but it had a kind of a squeak, a high-pitched voice, and it was going, ha-ha, jaywalking, ha-ha. And
I don't. The only one with a high-pitched voice around here can arguably be me. Now, are you saying it was me, yes or no?
I don't know. It might have been. Well, I hate to say this, but I think it probably was Nikki, the lady, the other lady.
Nikki? She wasn't laughing about it.
No, she was going. People didn't hear it, but as soon as you said jaywalking and a body going through the windshield, she went, ha 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 ha. I think that's very funny.
No, she didn't. Hey, Nikki.
Yes, sir.
You didn't laugh, did you?
I laughed at natural selection.
That's it. She said it was natural selection. And, man, I got to tell you, I got to throw the flag on that. That hurt bad.
I'm sorry, Jay.
Why did that hurt you?
Why did it hurt me? It didn't hurt me so much as I felt hurt on behalf of other people we hurt by it, you know. And
well, the natural selection line, I think, Nikki, that was the one thing she said that I think she had a point. You know, in other words, somebody walks across the street, gets hit by a car. Obviously, they aren't too bright.
Well, okay. But see, you can say that, but that happened to me. I walked across the street and got hit by a car. Am I not too bright?
Well, I don't know what the circumstance was.
I think what you're saying is...
What happened?
I was out one night with some friends of mine. I had too much to drink, and I decided to go dance out in the street. I was dancing in the street. And
you were dancing in the street?
I was, and that's stupid. There's no question about it. But did I deserve to die? Had I died that night, I would not have had a wife. I would not have had a kid. I would not have had been the founder of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
What is that? I would not have had a been.
I'm saying I would not have.
You wouldn't have founded the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You wouldn't have gotten married. You wouldn't have had a kid.
That's right. So it may be natural selection, the fact that I was dancing out in the street.
What about that, Nikki? A guy dancing in the street and then gets hit. Are you laughing?
I think he should reevaluate his drinking habits if he's dancing in the street while drunk.
Yeah, see, I did hear her hit the mute when she was going, hee, 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 hee. Is that right?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
So I think that's enough said there. I think I made my point.
No, you didn't make any point at all, Jay. You made no point. And Nikki's right. Evaluate. Thank you, Nikki, very much. Evaluate your drinking.
What, are you trying to tell me I need to go to AAA? Or not AAA?
It's not AAA.
I didn't say AAA. You tell me I go... But go to AA is
AA. It's not AA. It's AA. Yeah, that's what I think one would do were one to get into trouble because of one's drinking. However, since those days, I don't know that you've had that kind of problem. Have you?
I have not. I've tried to moderate and temperate. But the fact that I was dancing out in the street is what people often use that as their excuse for saying, ha, ha, ha. You should have been hit and sent, you know, into the hereafter being so stupid.
Well, I'm glad you're still with us, Jay. I'll give you that.
Well, thank you, Phil.
But I will tell you, being inebriated and playing in traffic is not a sign of a high intellect. It just isn't. That is about as dumb as it gets. I've done that.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
You have, Phil.
Yes, I have.
Can you relate? What the circumstance was, so that we could talk about it later on. Or...
No, you're not going to give me a ticket or anything, Jay. Okay, this was years and years ago.
Do you have a courage to relate it? Like I had a courage to relate mine.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you right away. I'll tell you that it was out in Westwood Village. I was hammered. I'd been drinking. In fact, I was with some friends of mine, and we were attempting to break the pitcher drinking record at this bar. In Westwood Village near UCLA, this was back in the early 70s, and I was drunk. And we wheeled out of this bar out onto the street in Westwood and laid down in traffic.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
You talk about laying in traffic, Mr. Henry?
Yes, we laid down in traffic. We laid down in traffic.
Well, so in other words, you was asking for it.
Asking for it? You better believe it. Would it have been natural selection had I been run over that night? Yes, it would have been. Had I been hit and killed that night, I would have deserved it. I survived that night, and so I guess you can say I learned to... I don't know what I did.
Well, did you ever lay down in traffic after that?
Never again. Never. No.
Not never again. Did you hear your grammar?
No, I didn't say not never. I said not...
Margaret, why don't you quit being a pain in the ass and listen to what the man has to say?
I don't like being spoken to that way.
Look, I just want to jump in here. I think what you're saying, Phil, about me, about you, is that I dance and you laid down, but we're still here. And that's because we learned our lesson. I did do it a couple more times. That's the only difference between you and me. Okay, and I don't know if that counts for nothing.
You did do it a couple of more times. Did what, dancing in traffic?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did. I did it two more times that night, and...
After you got hit by the car?
That is correct, yes.
How did you do that?
Wait, this story becomes more incredible.
I don't want to say anything, Margaret, but you just went, this story, and I think you're getting really excited.
Now, calm down, Margaret, please.
The story is ridiculous.
Ma'am, I can tell you what happened.
You got hit by a car, and then you were back in traffic that night.
That is correct. Went to the emergency room. Treated me for a broken arm, come back out, went right back out on the street and started dancing. I was doing a dance step, if you know it, it's called Tighten Up. Have you ever heard of the Tighten Up?
The Tighten Up?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a song that was made popular by Archie Bell and the Drells. come on and tighten up, tighten up. I'm sorry, I'm not a good singer.
No, I don't know the dance.
Well, it's a shuffling dance with your feet. And I was hell-bent on doing it out in that traffic. I don't know what I'd taken that night. I don't know what I was flying on. I thought it was alcohol. It might have been something else. I might have frat brother slip something else to me. But I'm not sure.
Well, now you're saying you could very well have been on some hallucinogenic. Do you think it was that?
We didn't fool around with that stuff, but we did mess around with ketamine.
Ketamine?
Yeah. Also, various different kind of speed. Upper, downer, in between. I used to call them in-betweener. We take a barbiturate. It was bad. It was bad. It was real bad. But I was able to pull myself out of that tailspin.
Yes, but that particular night, Jay, you were hit by a car, treated for a broken arm, went right back out into traffic, and started doing this dancing.
Well, again, it was called Tighten Up, or I think it's Twine Time is what it was called.
Look, I don't care what it was called. You're out there doing a dance.
Yeah, but it was a specific dance. And that's what I'm trying to get through to you. It was a specific dance.
Well, was there a competition or something?
As I recall, there was, yeah.
Were you rushing a fraternity?
I don't know. Might have been.
What difference does it make? The guy's out dancing in traffic.
Yeah, I don't know. Bud's got a good point. Why are we even trying to make sense out of it?
Well, there is if you know the whole story.
Well, what's the whole story?
That's the whole thing. I don't know.
There is more to your story, Jay, than you're telling, and I think when we hear the whole story, you won't like it, because I don't think it will redound positively in your favor.
Well, I'll grant that I don't know what any of that means, and I'm not saying that I'll grant that you have a point. I'm not sure.
Why don't you hold on for a second, or not, as the case may be?
It sounds to me like that moron should have been hit and killed that night.
I was out doing Twine Time.
I found Tighten Up.
Doing the Tighten Up. Is that what the name of the song was? All right, we're going to be back. You know this song? That's what Jay's dancing to out in the middle of traffic after he got hit by a car? We're going to be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So far what you're hearing here, folks, we've taken this jaywalking story, and we've been giving you our versions of jaywalking, stupid things. It's the stupidest thing in the world to play in traffic after you've been drinking. And I did it once as a youth. Never again. Jay Santos did it once, twice, and maybe even more times than that. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lots of other news to get to, including the Fukushima plume, okay?
That's the radioactivity that everyone's talking about.
Don't panic, okay? Just don't panic, for crying out loud, God. So we'll find out about this, the kind of, the intensity of the so-called, not so-called, but the intensity of the radiation. I've heard so much panicked reporting about this. What's the real science? What is actually happening? What is actually being detected? Who are the, what's going on? So we're going to find that out here when we come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We're live right now and mobile on our website, and we are live and mobile on TuneIn. Check us out on TuneIn as well. Phil Hendry Show. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're live on our website right now, and live and mobile on our website, live and mobile on TuneIn. This is the song here, Jay?
This song is called Tighten Up. This is what I was dancing to here. There's Archie Bell.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, right here, yeah.
I'm Archie Bell with the Thrills.
So I was
from Houston, Texas.
I'd had a little bit of drink. This is in college.
We dance just as good as we want.
How old are you?
I'm 38 years old. So, you know, this is back in the 90s.
Tighten Up.
This is about the 90s. Here it is right here. Tighten Up.
We tighten up with.
And again, I'm going to stand up, Phil, and try to do some of this step here. Yeah. Okay. I got it.
Tighten it up for me now.
I got it going on now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tighten up on that bass.
Now, you're doing this in traffic.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said you're doing this in traffic.
Yes, sir, I was.
Now let that guitar fall in.
Yeah. Now, what happened was, from the dorm, some of the brothers are playing this music. We had R&B night. A lot of sorority sisters come around, had the beers. And good times, you know?
Sure.
And so I had already had my arm broken once. I'd already had a cracked rib from a fight I'd been in. And
this is getting more ridiculous. Could you turn that down for a minute, Phil? Could you turn that filth down? Thank you.
That's not filth, Miss Gray. That's all filth.
Excuse me, Jay. I know music better than anyone here. Trust me when I tell you. And I'm trying to say something. You were in a fight as well as being hit by a car.
That night, yes, ma'am. And I've been drinking Southern Comfort. I had Jägermeister. And I also has been drinking beers.
You know, Nikki made the comment, and I have to ask you, have you been drinking tonight?
I had a short one when I got home.
What does that mean, you had a short one?
I had a short beer when I came home.
You had a short beer when you got home. Okay. So
it's been a long day, Mr. Henry.
Okay. So now you're at the frat house. It's a Friday night frat party, and you got R&B night going, and somebody slaps on Archie Bell.
Now you just said Arthie. I don't know if you're concerned.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, didn't you want us to point that out?
No, I didn't ask anybody to point it out when I lisp. But since you did. So you have on Archie Bell and the Drells, and you're dancing to this.
No, I danced to this after I got hit by the car. I danced to this, yeah, when I got hit by the car, but it was after I got in a fight.
You had a cracked rib, and when did you get the cracked rib treated?
The next day. I didn't know the rib was cracked till the next day, and I started to cough a little bit of blood, just a little tiny bit of blood.
Okay, so, you know, Jay, this story is so weird, I don't even know that I need to be getting into it. What are you doing, bud?
Just called Tighten Up.
I know it's called Tighten Up.
This is awesome.
Way to turn that off, will you? So you got a crack rib, now you're dancing in traffic because this is what you guys, the frat brothers, are asking you guys to do, or was it a competition of some kind? What was it?
Well, it was a competition, Phil. It was just a dance competition. And, song come on. I already had the crack. Now I come dancing out in traffic. When I got back from the hospital when I busted my arm, they still had this plan. And I said to Bob Delaney, who is one of the frat brothers, I said, you got to be crazy. You put Archie Bell and Drell back on. You know I'm going to go skipping and dancing out there again. So I skipped. I did two skips and then a full dance. Now I'm out on a double yellow line. And this, okay.
First, tighten up on the drum.
This is almost exactly the point in the song where I got hit by the car. Right here is a drum.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, honk, honk, bang, up in the air I go, back down again.
Were you injured that time?
No, I was not injured that time. I went up in the air. I barely, the paramedic to come out. He said, that's the second time we come out here tonight. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? I said, no. I said, do I have a thing busted? He goes, no. You must have been really loose. And I got a little upset with that. I said, what do you mean by loose? And guys are going, ha, 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 you know. But then I got up and I just, you got to tighten up. Come on and tighten up, right?
Come on now.
Well, yeah, you know what? I would.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Phil.
Turn it down, bud. God.
That's called a tighten up.
Is it really? Oh, well, I didn't know that. Thank you for playing the tighten up. So, what are you doing?
I wanted to hear that certain word.
Thank you. So, point being that the paramedics come out.
Yeah, but that was the point, right at that point in the song I got hit. So, I'm out, I'm going, come on and tighten up. Boom, up in the air, bounce, bounce, pavement. Now, the first time I got hit was almost the same thing, and almost the same poor song. So...
Well, Jay, you know, you can be a citizen's auxiliary police officer. You can do whatever you want with your life. It doesn't sound to me like at that point in your life you had much control over it. You're drinking, you're dancing in traffic, you're drinking Jägermeister. You said you were messing with ketamine or something?
No, not that night, though.
Well, now that's not what I heard.
Now, that Jay, you said that that night you had you were not just drunk, but you were experiencing some sort of a sensory... A situation that wasn't like drinking alcohol.
Well, no, I don't think that night. I mean, I've had similar nights when I was in college, yeah.
So you were a drug user in college?
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't think that's the point of what we're talking about. We're talking about jaywalking.
No, we're not talking about jaywalking now. We're talking about jaywalking is when a guy sees a red light and goes, well, I think I can chance it. We're talking tonight, you and I, both guilty of public intoxication... Obstructing traffic, I mean, creating a hazard, you know, all kinds of terrible things. Had you been, I can't believe the cops didn't cite you for more than just jaywalking.
Well, no, they got me for jaywalking because I told them, I said, the cops said, what are you doing? I said, I was trying to get across the street The cop said, no, you were not, because people saw you doing the tighten-up. And I said, wow. And I was impressed because the cop knew what. The cop recognized the tighten-up. I said, you know tighten-up? He said, no, I don't. I see. The cop said, I just heard some people say he was doing a tighten-up. I said, but do you know the tighten-up? And cop says, you know what? One more word out of you. I mean, the cop got really lippy with me. I said, I just want to know if you know the tighten-up. You know, and that's when he gave me the ticket. And
did you ever find out if the cop knew the tighten-up?
No, I never did. See, I'm glad you understand because...
No, I don't know. I'm being facetious. I think you were giving this cop a harder time than he needed. All right? Point being, Jay, that your story goes far afield of anybody jaywalking.
You just got done telling me about a lady that got hit by a car, or not hit by a car, but she was screaming as she got loaded into the back of a cop car because I guess, and all I heard was you're saying the ass is so big they had to load her in.
Yeah, well, that's not what he said. Mr. Henry said she had a big ass, but it didn't require a load in.
I understood Mr. Henry say that this woman had a big fat ass on her. She was all upset. She's embarrassed trying to jog the ass off. As full load-in.
What do you mean a load-in? What does that what does that mean?
Are you saying that that woman had to be loaded into that car as if she was freight?
That's exactly the way Mr. Henry was saying it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Jay, thank you so very much for your, being involved in our show tonight. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Very strange story. Don't jaywalk, folks. Don't go into traffic, dance into traffic, run into traffic, skip into traffic, and don't go back after you get your arm broken. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. This hour, I wanted to, get into the whole Fukushima thing. I know it's weird, and who understands it? Nobody. And is there clarity? Well, yeah, there's clarity, but it's...
Well, why do you always reject sort of the non-traditional point of view?
I think Phil doesn't want to panic people into thinking there's radioactivity that's crawling all over them. I think that's something, Margaret, that needs to be kept in mind. And if I seem a little on edge tonight, I'm worried about some of the overly liberalized views that you have here.
General, all I have said...
You mind if I just sort of get into the topic here?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Phil, but this issue of the Fukushima...
Fukushima.
I believe that's what I said.
Now, you guys want to start getting into it, that's fine. I'll just go ahead and leave, and you can have a big fat fight here.
No, I have some views about police and about radioactivity that go against what General Shaw believes. But General Shaw, I can assure you that I am a female, but I will not be easily cowed.
You said cow.
So what if I said cow? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm just trying to say you don't want to call yourself the cow.
He's looking out for you.
Oh, would you get real?
The cow doesn't mean that, bud.
Talking about being a cow?
I'm not talking about being... Are you two guys bucking for Bozo of the Year, like getting a tie in the voting, like in the Academy Awards, when they give out... Never mind.
Bozo of the Year, a tie in the voting.
Don't worry, Phil. I'm trying to make a very, very important point, and I've got that and that trying to impede me, even as that...
That?
General Shaw is disagreeing with me.
I'm going to distill this, if you don't mind.
Oh, you're going to distill it?
Yeah, I'm going to distill this. General Shaw is saying, why panic people before there is 100% of the information and it's thoroughly vetted? You're saying better to let people know up front what the information is. And I think there's a middle ground here. Just because someone writes a blog and says, here's the radioactivity in the Pacific Ocean, doesn't necessarily mean that it's the truth. I don't care what source they claim to be citing. There's also the other side of it, which is the official side, and who knows why they're saying what they're saying. Maybe it's to take a lot of the onus off of the authorities in Japan. Maybe it's to soften the blow against some of the authorities in the United States. Or maybe it's just the need to give us some real information and not a lot of panicked thinking. I've been around a little bit in this world, and I have seen countless examples of people saying, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and none of it ever happens. Do I have to remind people of those times? Because I certainly can.
Look, well, like what?
Like, let's talk about Y2K for starters. Remember, the whole world was coming to an end then. The whole world was going to be over on January the 1st. Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. You better get bottled water. And you bottled water. I mean, that's how bad it was going to be. Now, never mind the fact that people who were actually working on the problem were saying, "Oh, it's going to be fun." No, no, no. People wanted to be in the outer space of panic on that one. So here you have this so-called radioactive plume. The scientists are saying the likely scale of the radioactive plume of water from Fukushima due to hit the west coast of North America should be known in the next 2 months. And according to scientists, it will be well within whatever they consider to be safe sampling. Now, only minute traces of pollution from the beleaguered Japanese power plant have so far been recorded in Canadian continental waters. This will increase as contaminants disperse eastwards on the Pacific currents. But scientists stress, and I guess this means that I'm reading the party line here.
Well, why are they saying what they're saying, and when are they saying it?
Well, what does that mean?
It means they're saying something that they want you and I to believe. Why? When was it said, but why is it being said, and when?
What?
You know...
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying, are they trying to hide something?
Well, are they? I mean, if you want to say they're trying to hide something, you have to have evidence of that. You can't just say, it stands to reason. I love that school of thought. It stands to reason. Hey, it only makes sense. That's not evidence. That's just some jackass saying, why, it makes sense to me. Sure, it probably makes sense to you. There's a whole lot of things that may make sense to you, man. Maybe you're out there looking for water with one of those divining rods. I don't know. Well, what makes sense to me is if somebody has some science they want to present, and we'll see if that that agrees with what others are saying, others in the scientific community. Here's what they're saying. Scientists stress that even the peak measurements will be well within the limits set by safety authorities.
Well, what does that, and how many times have we seen safety authorities proven wrong?
I don't know, how many?
Well, what's that supposed to mean, Phil?
Well, if you're telling me that they've been wrong before, which I'm sure they have, how often and why? And let's get down to the real thing here, man, and not a whole lot of horse...
Well, no, you're saying horse...
Dung.
Yes, horse dung.
Since the 2011 Fukushima accident, researchers from the Bedford Institute of Oceanography have been sampling waters along a line running almost 2,000 kilometers due west of Vancouver, British Columbia. And by June of last year, they were detecting quantities of radioactive cesium, 137 and 134, along the sampling line's entire edge. What is that? I don't know. But let's just say it's a radioactive element. By June of last year, they were detecting quantities... I already read that. Although the radioactivity concentrations remain extremely low, less than one becquerel per cubic...
Let me see that. One becquerel. What does that mean?
Let me see that, Phil.
I told you guys, don't go grabbing stuff out of my hands, okay?
Let me see that. Give me that.
How many times has that got to happen, man, before...
Sorry.
Well, one becquerel is, it sounds Russian.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of the one becquerel. One becquerel?
One, I don't know how you pronounce it, man, but it's some measurement, okay, of radioactivity. Look at this. I'm trying to read this page. I've got two ripped pieces of paper. Per cubic centimeter water now, or per cubic meter. They have allowed the scientists to, I'm trying to read something that's been ripped in half, bud. Thanks so much. They've allowed the scientists to create two models that are being used to forecast the probable future progression of the plume. One of these models anticipates a maximum concentration by mid-2015 of up to 27 becquerels per cubic meter of water, the other no more than about 2. Bedford's Dr. John Smith told BBC News that further measurements have been taken in the ocean right now should give researchers a fair idea of which model is correct. He emphasized again, these levels are still well below maximum permissible concentrations in drinking water in Canada. Yada, yada, yada. Dr. Smith was speaking at the Ocean Sciences meeting in Honolulu, Hawaii in 2014.
Well, they're trying to keep people from panicking, I think.
And what are you trying to do? You and your friends trying to keep them panicking.
Me and my friends, huh? As if I've got some organization of people that want to hold... What do you think I am, Phil? You think I'm running around trying to panic people?
Margaret, we know full well that you and people like you and your fellow travelers are trying to get people to go ape on this. And the next thing you know, we've got the, we've got insane, the Mad Max. I don't even
want... No, I don't think you want people to go ape. I just think that you guys, you want it to be worse than it is. And because it serves a certain political agenda. That's what I'm saying.
No, I know it will be worse than it is because I know things at the very top levels are not good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know things at the top level aren't good, so the things below that, it's all just got to fall into place in your worldview, man. This is a world that we're living in now where we have competing versions of what's going on. And proof is a really marvelous thing. You know, evidence and proof are great concepts in all of this. People don't even know what evidence is anymore. People don't follow any traditional definition and model for presenting evidence. Evidence to some people is a gut feeling they have. That's my evidence. My evidence is, I have a gut feeling. Wouldn't it make more sense if blah, 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 blah? All right, we'll be back. There's a lot of examples in life, I think, of people saying, well, this doesn't make any sense because if that happened, then this would happen and that happened. And no, none of that happened. It's just sometimes weird stuff happens. All right, so what we have here is radioactivity will be hitting the shores of the United States and we're all going to die. Hey.
Phil, that is irresponsible.
Well, that's what you're trying to say.
No, I am not. I'm saying that possibly...
You're talking about Godzilla.
Godzilla? Boy, someone ought to...
All right. No, nobody's saying Godzilla, bud. Godzilla, no, no. Gigantic lizards, no, 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 no. All right, we'll come back here, and if there's anything more to say about that, we'll say it. We also have an update here on the Arizona... But Herb Sewell is going to be on to talk about this radioactivity thing, and...
Now, that's the guy that's the child molester, isn't it?
You served time for that, yeah.
Why in the hell... Do you have a guy like that on your program?
Because he's got good information on some of the stuff that I want to know about. And we'll get into why we have him on the show as soon as we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. God, I'm tired, man, after all that horse dung. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Herb Sewell with us on the line from Camarillo, California, where he's waiting to jump on an aircraft on your way to Northern California. Herb?
I am, Phil. I'm actually going to be flying north to take part in the seminar on this very subject that that you are discussing this evening. That is the potentiality of the radioactive contamination of Pacific waters. I concur... And forgive me if I'm just jumping ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I want to ask a question.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
No, what question do you want to ask, General? Because I think I heard your comments.
What do we have? Now, I understand, Sewell, you were in prison for child molestation.
I was in prison, yes, for crimes of that nature. I don't want to articulate the specific charge. Suffice to say, I think you're probably hitting the nail on the head there, General. I've been assured by Phil that while I will create and produce and otherwise engender candor in that area, I don't know that I want to belabor, because I'm on the program talking about the danger of radiation as it exists extant. You know, sir.
All right, hold on. That's fine. I understand. You saying... You were in a Tascadero. Now that's a hospital for the mentally, the people that are.
It's a forensic hospital for criminally insane. Is that what you're trying to say?
Is that say what?
It's a forensic hospital for the criminally insane. Yes, and I had insulin shock and electroshock. I was put through every kind of process. You know, I can assure you that I went through every process and every therapy that man has concocted to try and rearrange the brain cells of a deviant. Am I a deviant? Yes, I'm a deviant. Am I cured? No, you can't say that I'm cured. But am I under control? The answer to that question is yes. And so I think that one must give one like myself the benefit of the doubt, General, as I'm sure you understand.
Well, Herb, if I may call you Herb?
Yes, certainly. May I call you? Well, I don't want to show any disrespect. May I call you Galen?
I prefer General, but yes, if it makes you feel more comfortable, I'm not trying to judge a man here. But I have serious questions about having an individual on this program as a news commentator who's been a deviant and someone locked in a mental facility and so forth.
I understand that, but one might say the same about having as a news commentator an individual who's been involved in warfare, including a questionable war called the Vietnam War, which many feel the United States commissioned war crimes in.
Now, wait, hold the phone there, my friend.
All right, guys, come on, gentlemen. These are questions that while one can be candid about one's background and give everybody give everyone a look at where we're coming from, we don't have to debate it, okay? I don't want to debate the Vietnam War, and I don't want to debate Herb's background as a criminal. I mean, he went to prison. He served 8 years. He's on parole.
Well, he's flying all over the country looking at radioactive water.
Well, what has that got to do with any of that? So I'm not flying all over the country. I'm flying to San Francisco as an adjunct, as an assistant to another individual. I'm not going to be speaking. I'm going to be standing there holding on to papers and briefcases. I have come way, way down the ladder of social recognition and intellectual recognition, I can assure you, my friend, in the time since I was in prison. I have fallen mighty hard, my friend, if that makes you feel any better. And as the result of that, I feel as if I've had my nose rubbed in it enough.
Well, I'm sure that the parents...
Look, again, General, I don't want to have this fight. Your points are very well made.
Well, my points may be well... And the other thing, you say you're cured.
I didn't say I was cured.
Well, what I mean is you say you're out of the mental facility... But you're going, you're doing things that make me think that you may still have a screw loose. Excuse me for saying it.
General, I think when it comes to the topic of having a screw loose, I've been listening to you here for the last course of a few weeks, just itching to get on the air and talk to you and find out what makes you tick, because you sound like you've got some wiring that may need perhaps repair. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
All right, guys, I'll go ahead and I'll hang up on Herb and we'll just forget the whole thing.
Never let it be said that Galen Shaw doesn't want to talk about the truth.
Well, then let's talk about the truth and not talk about you talking about me and every other thing you say is, you're making fun of me.
You're the one saying,
Yes, but you're mocking it. And you're mumbling and stuttering. Almost as if you're the one that had the electroshock, not I.
Well, that right there is dirty pool. For you to bring up...
All right, you guys have already gotten yourselves into a nice little contretemps here, a nice little fight, a scrap, before we've even gotten anything done. I want to find out about the Fukushima radiation, how it affects the continental waters of the United States here on the West Coast. This is where we live. And, you know, it's very interesting. I was reminded not too long ago by a friend of mine who lives back east that right after this tsunami and the earthquake of 2011, you know, I live in our El Pacifico studios are right here on the California coast. I mean, we are no more than a block and a half away from a sign sitting on the sand that says tsunami warning. Be sure that you pay attention to tsunami warnings.
I'm very much aware of that, Phil.
All right. So... I remember getting that phone call that day from a friend of mine who said, you know what, I'm thinking that you need to go inland or you need to move yourself to a safer place because what they're saying coming from Japan doesn't sound very good. And I said to them, I want to wait and see what happens in Hawaii. If Hawaii is underwater, I'm out of here, you know. But the news came later in the day that Hawaii was fine. I think Hawaii had some pretty significant...
Well, Phil, what are you telling everyone how brave you are?
Yeah, Margaret, very good point. Phil loves to do this. He loves to talk about how big and brave and bad he is.
Well, wow, so you're trying to take the onus off of you. Is that it, Sue?
All right, I'm not trying to prove I'm big and bad. I'm just reminding people of the events of that day. Now, what about the radiation?
All right. As I sit here thinking about it, though, now I feel as if I need to be more judicious in the dissemination of this information, you know, because I have just been, once again, and I thought that this was up, but once again, I've had my nose rubbed in it by the general here. So I don't think I'm prepared to tell you what I know until such time as I get a little bit more respect.
Wait. What are you saying? Say that again. I'm almost laughing.
I'm saying that I'm not prepared to release the information that I have about the Fukushima radiation unless I get a tad more respect from you, General, and in general, the general... you know, you stop overusing that word. But no, I think if I get a little bit more respect from you, General, instead of you sitting there in all your high and mightiness talking about the weird ass on the other end of the phone.
You know something, Sewell?
No, what is that, General?
What you're doing is you're holding that information hostage because I'm not kissing your rear end. Because baby didn't get his applesauce for dessert. Is that it?
No, it's not baby. I'm not baby here getting my applesauce for dessert. You're the one that's baby.
Okay, so you're not going to say anything because you're not getting enough love here?
That's it exactly, yeah.
You said it, Phil. He's not getting enough love.
Hey, you know, I think you have more respect for Mr. Sewell and everything. He didn't do anything wrong.
Thank you very much, Dickman. Finally, your mind and your brain have come up to my level. He sees that I'm being treated with a certain amount of disrespect that would preclude me from saying anything that I know about the Fukushima ricochet,
the Fukushima radiation.
The Fukushima radiation, yes.
So you have information and you're holding it back.
I didn't say that. I just said that I'm not going to say anything about what it is that I know, even if I don't know anything. And I'll make you sweat, General. Maybe for the first time in a long time, I'm going to watch your fat jowls sweat. And I think that...
Tell Herbie's on hold here.
Boy, that guy, you talk about someone asking for it. He's not just asking for $300 worth. He wants every penny.
That's not a bad impression there of Andy Robinson. We'll be back here with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com interview here with Herb Sewell. Don't forget, we're on TuneIn as well, live and mobile on TuneIn, live and mobile on the Phil Hendry Show website right now. And, of course, in our online store are the Rudy Canoza Ladies Pink Je T'aime Lingerie T-shirts, the latest in style from Phil Hendry Show Online. Famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We have Herb Sewell on the phone from the Camarillo Airport here in Southern California. We also have with us Dr. Carter Larson, and I'll have Herb Sewell introduce Dr. Larson. Herb?
Well, Phil, we have Dr. Larson. He's actually on another line that I've been able to conference in here. He's in Las Vegas. Dr. Larson's going to meet me in San Francisco here later on tonight. In Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. Larson.
Carter Larson, you.
Dr. Larson, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Can you tell us, and you're the gentleman that Herb is going to be assisting?
Yes, Herb is an adjunct assistant, a faculty advisor assistant for the work we've been doing on the Fukushima conference.
Can you tell us, sir, from the research you've done and the information you have, what the effects of this radiation, what the effects of this radiation might be or have been?
Well, the number one problem that we see is the misinformation. Fukushima, one of several nuclear power plants, but we don't want a situation of public panic, and so the information that we are disseminating to the press is, at this time, highly refined.
I think what Dr. Larson is saying...
Well, hold on for a minute. Why don't you let him speak?
I'm interpreting for Dr. Larson, if you don't mind.
Herb is working with us on this.
Dr. Larson is saying that they don't want what is commonly referred to as a Night of the Living Dead scenario, and that is where you start to speculate that, well, it was a meteorite that caused zombies to come up out of the ground. We don't want this kind of idiocy, because there's an awful lot of stupidity in the American people today when it comes to scientific phenomena, whether it has to do with radioactivity coming from Fukushima or somewhere else.
Is that your feeling, Doctor?
Yeah, in Fukushima, the incident and the resulting publicity has been very negative and has not been accurate. And that is not optimum. We want the public to be reassured that the information we have
is 100% is solid gold and is not influenced by any fantastical scenarios. We call it the Night of the Living Dead scenario because in that film, there was an aspect, a part of the film where they speculated that a meteorite or an asteroid had showered the Earth with a kind of radiation that animated or reanimated dead human beings into walking ghoul. And that we certainly don't want to happen here. The radiation.
Can I interrupt you, Doctor?
Yeah, certainly.
There's not any speculation that the radiation from Fukushima is going to cause zombies, is there?
Phil, that's exactly what we're trying not to have happen.
Well, in trying not to have it happen, I think you're now beginning to spread that idea.
I'm not spreading any idea. If you let Dr. Larson finish, Dr. Larson has the information. Dr. Larson?
Thank you, Herb. There's no evidence that any radiation from Fukushima is causing the reanimation of the dead. But we don't want that to start. I don't want any rumor to start that the radioactivity coming from Japan is causing a walking dead phenomena, a zombie or reanimation of the zombie. There's no zombie. There's no zombie phenomena. There's no face eating or any of the associated zombie particulars. I have not seen any zombie particulars in the data that I've seen.
What do you mean by zombie particulars?
Well, if I may.
Go ahead, Herb.
When we look at the radiation coming from Fukushima, the first thing we wanted to say, well, is any of this likely to cause a dead man to come crawling out of a box? That's the first thing, and it sounds ridiculous.
I'll say it sounds ridiculous for scientists to be wasting their time on such a thing.
If I may, General, again, you're way out of your element here. I'm in my element.
Herb has been duly deputized by those of us at the conference to speak on this.
So we look for these zombie, what I call a zombie particular. I'm the one that gave it the name, you know.
So this is not a scientific name. It's one that you came up with.
Yes, Margaret. Be reassured that the dumb, weird, child-perverted, child-molesting Herb Sewell came up with it. All right?
Herb, I'm not saying anything other than I'm asking you if you're the one that came up with it.
Yes, I came up with the zombie. I'm looking to see if any of this radiation can reanimate, reactivate, or otherwise create some zombie. We don't need that, you see.
So I'm going to say exactly what Herb just said. You're wasting your time on this.
Oh, let me say, Mr. Henry, the concern by the conference, after speaking with Herb, because he's more conversant with mass media and these matters, was that the best thing to do was to assure or reassure the public that the radiation coming from Fukushima would not, certainly was not going to get into groundwater, did not get down into the aquifer, percolate down into the ground bed, and thus seep into areas where perhaps they're recently buried, and you have someone attempting to get out of a crypt, or someone trying to push through a box they're buried in. Who wants that? I'm not saying that it'll be a zombie, but we are saying that the next of kin will find that they had a loved one trying to burrow their way out of a box, and they maybe made it halfway up and just collapsed from exhaustion. I don't know whether a zombie could do that.
All right, so you were worried more about the legal aspects of the next of kin finding that their loved one that had died had been reanimated by this Fukushima radiation, tried to burrow out of a box, made it halfway up to the topsoil, and then died from exhaustion.
Well, yes, that's what we're saying, essentially.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I admit to you, Mr. Henry, that science does sound pretty peculiar to a lot of people, but this is the world that I live in and the world that I unfortunately have got to concern myself with.
Can I ask the doctor a question, Herb?
Yes, by all means.
In the background, I think I'm hearing a croupier. Is that right?
You're here. Yes, I'm at a crap table here in Las Vegas. I've got a plane to catch tomorrow morning. I don't have to be out.
So you're playing dice right now? You're playing craps?
Yes, I am. I'm relaxing. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an unusual place to spend the night before you're going to a seminar where you're going to attempt to reassure the American people that the Fukushima radiation is not causing what you call zombie particulars.
That's a scientific term. But let me take it, Dr. Lawson, because I'm familiar with these people, and I know their methods, and I know what they're all about.
Thank you.
Oh, you're familiar with these people.
That is exactly right, Phil. I'm familiar with you and Margaret and the rest of your crew and what you do to try and take a legitimate and very respected man, such as Dr. Carson Lardner, Dr.
Well, you can get my name right, Herb. That goes a long way toward me trusting you and having you back on the...
Dr. Carter Larson is a very respected man. Now, the Fukushima radiation, which has been cleared of all zombie particulate. Dr. Larson, are you there? Dr. Larson, are you there? Did he hang up?
We've lost his line. It sounds like we lost Vegas.
Well, I'm going to put that one on you, Phil, and your crew.
Why do you say that?
Because you are nothing but rude. And
we asked very important questions, Herb.
I was the one telling you about the zombie particular.
This zombie particular sounds like the biggest waste of time. I can't believe that a scientific man, whether you were the one that came up with it for Dr. Larson to present at the conference or not, I can't believe that he would even give the green light to a jackball study like that. Why?
Why? Let me see. Do you think it's because the American people have been peppering the CDC with questions about cannibal zombies and face-eating? Yeah. I'm not the one, Phil. I didn't create this world. I just have to sit in the sickness of it. I didn't make this world. I'm Herb Sewell. I'm just someone that has to sit and deal with it.
Well, I'll say one thing, Sewell. If you want to talk about somebody that has created some of the pain in this world, you're one of them.
Oh, is that right? And how do you, if you believe in zombies, then I guess you believe in a random
Yeah, can't answer that one, can you?
Margaret, I can assure you that were I sitting face to face with you lame brains, I'd have no problem out-arguing and defending my point of view and arguing against you and making you look bad, and I'd come out on top, and I would be the winner of any... God, I hate...
Okay, so we lost him, too.
No, he hung up.
You know what, Phil? You know this. Your guests have got a mental problem, and I'm not just talking about her. That guy, Carter Lardass...
Carter Larson.
That guy Carter Larson, that he'd have a guy like Herb Sewell on his staff, speaks volumes to me about what kind of mental defective that guy is.
I can't disagree with that.
Okay. I don't know. You know,
Well, Mr. Eden, you look like you're giving up.
No, it's just I've heard enough weird stuff on this show that those guys are looking into whether or not that radiation... You know what? Why not? Why not? You got enough people out there that think that radiation caused those zombies. You got to be kidding me, man.
Well, so are you giving it a legitimate view? I mean, do you take it as something that is needed?
Of course it's not needed. It's you guys are right. You're right. It's a big, fat waste of time. I just... The argument that ensued was ridiculous. But Herb... That guy, I got a feeling he just weaseled his way onto that guy's staff for a trip out of town, and he came up with this, hey, let me check and see if there's any zombie particulars in the radiation that's flowing in from Japan. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with more news and other interesting facets, an overview of the Arizona service denial bill, more of that silly and just silly piece of legislation. Even the guys that passed that don't support it now. That's how weird and whack that whole thing is. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at Phil Hendry Show. We are live and mobile there right now and live and mobile on TuneIn. So check us out.
Holla if you hear me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show online at philhendryshow.com and mobile and online and mobile at TuneIn. And last night, just to give you an update, last night if you were trying to find us on TuneIn, we just completely blew it on our end. I'm so sorry, folks. We did not make our TuneIn connection last night. We're getting used to it. And, of course, On the 15th of March, we are a fully digital online web show. We are leaving the radio platform. And that's just for economic reasons more than anything else. So all of the money that has been made by the Phil Henry Show, in other words, the way we earn our income is through our online show. There is no money in radio. What do you want me to tell you? It's pretty sad, but that's the facts, Jack. So on the 15th, we become an online radio show now, or online audio presentation, however you want to put it. Now, in conjunction with that, the show moves to a new start time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. So we are going to become a morning, late morning show here on the West Coast and early afternoon show on the East Coast. And that's just because it makes more sense. It's if you don't have to do a nighttime radio show, man, don't do it. It's just why, you know, until such time as listening levels at night are where we'd like them to be. Now, all of that stuff having been said, we will be available come the 15th exclusively on a TuneIn. In terms of the live aspect, the live presentation of the show will be available on TuneIn and on our website, live streaming on our website, which is available through your mobile phone, philhenryshow.com. Then the podcast of the show will be available for a period of 5 days on iTunes, on the Sideshow Network, on SoundCloud, and then it becomes a premium podcast on our website for our subscribers. That's it in as simple a description as I can muster at this time, and that starts on the 15th. Last night, on the 15th of March, last night, we, in sort of getting used to the new way of doing things around here, we just plumb flat missed making our tune-in connection on last night's show. So I am taking that responsibility on myself. I apologize to you guys wanting to hear the show live. I believe that was also the case. You couldn't hear it on our website either. So we just totally blew it last night in terms of our online listeners for the live show. But the podcast is available on our website at philhenryshow.com. All right. An overview of the Arizona service denial bill.
This what I got was that you was asking questions about it.
Right. Thank you, bud, because I said, well, what the hell's in this bill, man? You know, because last night I was...
Well, I don't think you're going to find anything that's earth-shaking or groundbreaking.
Well, Margaret, let's just wait and see.
Well, what I wanted to know and what we will find out here is, what are we... If there's something I'm missing here, I want to know what it is, you know? In other words, because what the bill authors said, the conversation about this has gotten so screwed up, it has been misrepresented, is the way they've put it, that now we can't get a fair shake, and we might as well just not have the bill pass because everybody's going to misunderstand what the bill's about. All right. I personally believe that it's another example of a bill's author not being misunderstood. He is misunderstanding. The people that wrote this bill are misunderstanding not only the public mood. That's not really the more important consideration. The more important consideration is misunderstanding the Constitution and what equal protection under the law is and all those cool things. However, let's just look at this. Here are some basics on Arizona's Senate Bill 1062, whose fate rests with Governor Jan Brewer. What does this bill do? Okay. Essentially, two things. It broadens the definition of the person who can invoke a shield against being sued for denying service or other action if that denial is based on religious beliefs. Current law defines that as a religious assembly or institution. However, SB 1062 would expand it to any individual, any association, any partnership, any corporation, church, religious assembly or institution, or other business organization. Okay? So it's no longer a church that is protected from being sued, or a assembly or institution that is religious from being sued. It is now protecting individual, association, partnership, corporation, church, religious assembly, or institution, or other business. Hence, any and all business declining service to someone if it offends or interferes with their religious belief. It requires any person or organization who denies a request for service to show that their action is based on their religious beliefs and that they have sincerely held religious beliefs and that a lawsuit or other sanction would substantially burden their religious beliefs. Okay. I'll say that again. It requires any person or organization...
Yeah, say it again, will you?
That's what he's doing, man.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh.
It requires any person...
Good God.
All right, take it easy.
Boy, we got a long way without you saying take it easy. There it is right there.
Yeah, let me just...
What are you doing?
I'm marking it down.
It requires any person or organization who denies a request. So in other words, if you deny a request for service to a gay person, and they're saying that this is this has to do with your sincerely held religious belief, and we are assuming that this sincerely held religious belief means you don't want to have you don't want to serve gay people because this was the intention of the bill's authors. That you have to prove that this is, in fact, a sincerely held religious belief, and that the lawsuit that you're facing would really burden your religious belief. Didn't say burden your business. It would burden your religious belief. Question, why does Arizona need this bill? All right, now that's a tricky question. I don't know that anybody, if something is unconstitutional or constitutional, that should be enough to say a bill is needed to support the Constitution here. Whether something is if people are looking at something and saying, well, my rights are being denied, you know.
So they and by when they say rights, they mean constitutional rights.
Yeah, you'd have to be saying constitutional. What other rights can you be talking about? Because the supreme law of our land is the Constitution of the United States. It's not the Bible. As many people would like it to be the Bible, as much as I hate to break the news, it is not. The Bible is not the supreme law of the United States. The supreme law of the United States is the Constitution. Anybody that says it's the Bible it doesn't understand our law. And if anyone acts as if the Bible is the supreme law and not the Constitution, they're in violation of the law. That's why you get these religious sects invaded by federals and state local police when they are practicing their religion, and it violates the laws of the United States that are that comport with the Constitution. For instance, child molestation or refusing medical service or support to someone because your so-called religious beliefs deny that. Well, you can't endanger somebody's, you can't endanger a child's life, that's for sure. So in any event, why does Arizona need this bill? Let's answer that question from the more practical standpoint. Supporters have not pointed to supporters have not pointed to any instance in which a business owner has been compelled to provide a service to someone who offends the business owner's religious beliefs. They haven't been able to cite one instance of that. But they worry that without the shield provided by the bill, people could be forced to act contrary to their religious beliefs. So they're strengthening this religious protection shield beyond religious institution and assembly because they feel that they may just very well need that. Why do they think they may just very well need that? Maybe it's because there's business owners who've approached these representatives and saying, now, I don't like to serve no gays. Where do I come in? Well, okay, we'll go back to the assembly and we will strengthen the law. Thank you. So maybe they've been petitioned by certain businesses to say, am I protected if I don't want to serve these here queers? We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
So what is going on with the video cast? We've had some people tweeting about it.
Yeah, a lot of tweeting about it.
Our video cast, right, we have a choppy picture. We've got a little bit of a technical malfeasance happening. We're all over that like white on rice, man. We're actually probably going to, not probably, we are replacing the computer tomorrow. So those of you that are watching on Phil TV right now, we apologize for the, as I say, the choppiness of the picture. We've got a little bit of a computer problem that we're going to correct. We'll have that corrected by tomorrow. And again, our apologies. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but what are you going to do, man? You know, it's
the technology of the thing, of what the thing and the thing, you know, I don't know how else to describe it.
What do you mean the technology of the thing and the thing? People want to know, Phil.
Yeah, you've got people out there that are scared, Phil.
What are they scared of? You know, we've got a little bit of a technical problem, folks. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, I don't know. All I looked up and I saw you going, it looked like, you remember the old robot? That's what it looked like.
Yeah, it's just a video. It's a computer problem. It's a computer issue. All right, enough with the Arizona. I don't know what the hell we're going to do, man, but Governor Brewer, you know, good luck to you, man. You know.
Yeah, better make the right decision or they'll probably riot.
What makes you think they'll riot?
That's good that people do.
Well, yeah, people do riot. You know, I mean, I'm not encouraging anybody to do that. But, you know, there isn't anything in this country that's ever happened of value. Seriously, it doesn't seem like there's anything in this country that has ever happened of any real value that violence didn't attend it in some way or another.
That is absolute slander on a great country. Why would you say something like that?
Because it's true.
Well, what do you... Wait a minute. Are you saying that the Constitution... You're saying that we can't... We pass laws in this country, mister.
Wait. Hold on. I'm not saying that every single solitary wonderful advancement America's ever made has had some violent beginning to it, has been compelled or propelled by violence. I should say things of real civil, you know, things having to do with human rights, they always seem to have been propelled by some violent events. The civil rights movement in the 60s, even women's suffrage, even the right for women to vote, there were violent confrontations. It just seems, you know, even the OSHA standards, the workplace standards, there had to be people dying before that stuff. In other words, what I should say is that maybe it isn't so much violence as in people attacking each other, but there's been the loss of life, you know, the loss of those women in the factory in New York, which prompted the occupational and safety hazard standards. Loss of life over, you know, the rights accorded to people after slavery, loss of life, even the loss of life, like I was mentioning, the women's right to vote, gay people and their fight for gay rights. There's been a loss of life. There have been lives taken. I mean, in the labor movement, terrible violence in the movement to secure rights for working people, no matter what. It seems we don't get things done in this country easy. You would think that we would, but it just goes to show you that when we're talking about America, we're talking about a great ideal, which the people factor is still trying to catch up to.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that the ideal of this country is fantastic, and the Constitution's fantastic. The things that we shoot for and the things that we dream about and the things that we want are very high and mighty and worthy. But we're still just people. So there isn't anything about the Constitution or the American Revolution or the Civil War or anything else for that matter that made us any better. It made the laws better. It made the mechanics of disseminating justice and the mechanics of ensuring people's rights better. But the people, you and me, we're still the same people. We're still sometimes heroic. Sometimes stupid, sometimes courageous, sometimes, you know.
Well, speak for yourself.
Hey, pal, I don't mean you and me as in you and me. I mean the regular, just people, you know.
Yes, I was going to say, Phil, I mean, those are some pretty lofty terms to be applying to yourself.
Well, don't worry, Margaret, I'm not talking about myself.
But what Phil's saying is the human family.
Well, I'm talking about the American family right now. I'm talking about Americans. You know, we are the inheritors of a fantastic thing called our Constitution and the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness ideal. But how we go about ensuring that, not only for ourselves, what's the Constitution say? Not only for ourselves, but for posterity, you know?
What's that mean? Posterity's, well...
What?
Posterity is the butt.
Posterity is the butt.
Well, yeah.
No, it...
Hold on. Wait. Posterity as in the people that come after us. Why do you...
He thinks posterity. We're not talking about posterior.
Well, I didn't think so, but I mean, why do they say that?
As in behind, okay? People that are coming behind us. People that are in line behind us as we trudge toward the future, sometimes sprint, sometimes trudging, sometimes crawling, sometimes walking. As we make our way to the future, our posterity, the people that come after us. Like your ass does.
Oh.
Shh.
Boy, I'll tell you, bud, you are... You're a real work in progress, aren't you?
So that's it, man. So the posterity part of that, the people that come after us. And we're just doing the best we can. We got to make sure that we do at least as good a job as the people that left us this country, right? What we have? Those people went through hell, man. And so we got to do our thing. You know, we got to step up and not be a bunch of imbeciles. But you know what? Every time you read about it, if you read enough American history, as I have, and I've read a hell of a lot of it, there have been examples of every generation has had its example of just not, they shouldn't be proud. You know, there have been some really shameful moments that each generation's had. So I don't feel too bad about us. Although, you know, every time I answer fan mail, No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking around. Okay. What countries have the highest tax rate? I bet that's just been one burning a hole in your ass, bud.
What?
Huh? Haven't you been wondering about which country has the highest tax rate?
No. I'm not going to pay no taxes.
Boy, good luck, pal, not pay any taxes. What fairy tale book have you been reading? That's something straight out of a fairy tale.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there are some people that don't pay taxes, but we know who they are. Either they're guys that are walking on the thin edge of legality, or they're filthy rich and they've just got fantastic accountants, or...
Oh, by the way, did you find out who are the 1%?
Yeah, the 1%. Do you guys want to know who the 1%? The 1%, when they say who the 1% are people who earn after their gross income has been... gross adjusted income... of $334,000 a year or more, individual or family, I think is what Nikki told us. So that's a lot of bread. But you would be surprised at who makes $334,000 a year or more. And not everyone that makes that kind of money is the kind of person that is sitting on their can and lording it over and living in, kicking in some house in a gated community. In other words, Bobby or Steve Dooley. No, these are business owners. You know, people that are just making do with the income that they have to expand their businesses, to maybe hire more people. You got to be careful, you know, when you start to stereotype people. It's easy to say I'm a working man, and I deserve my rights, and I don't want to be stepped on. That's laudable, and you should expect that kind of fair play. But if you're expecting it, then you want to be able to give it. And when you look at someone who makes an income that puts them in the 1%, that doesn't necessarily mean that guy is a scumbag. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sold on the idea that people don't want to be rich. I think they do. And all we had to do was share that fake picture of Bill Gates wanting to give, you know, we said Bill Gates wanted to share $5,000. People like to say that money isn't important, but the nasty people, man, that wanted their 5Gs, and then they turn around and tell you how they don't need it, you know?
Well, you had the communication with the one guy who said that you were a so-and-so for not sharing the $5,000. And then he went on to say that he was doing really well for himself. He had a Chrysler, and he bought his plates at some really neat place.
Yeah, I think it was like Crate and Barrel or something like that.
Wait, the guy's got a Chrysler? That is a pretty good car.
Yeah, Chrysler's a good car, but I wouldn't exactly say, hey, I'm rich, I own a Chrysler. I mean, you know, it's...
They'd probably talk about like having a Rolls Royce.
Well, a Rolls Royce, yeah, would probably qualify you. Hey, I'm wealthy, man. I have a Chrysler.
Well, it's a damn good automobile.
Didn't say it wasn't a damn good automobile. I'm just saying it doesn't exactly... Anyway, in which countries do high earners pay the most tax, and where do average earners pay the most? Income tax has been at what?
You got Bobby Dooley.
Bobby Dooley? Well, we just talked to Bobby today. She was talking to the Sklar. Is she on the line?
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, how are you? It's Phil Hendry.
Oh, hi, Phil. We wanted to just say thank you again for assisting today with the Sklar Brothers. They were delightful.
Aren't those guys funny?
Oh, they're wonderful. And I'm really looking forward to having them to having everyone hear the podcast. Steve heard you as he was driving back from Vaughn's with the boys. Steve?
Yeah, don't talk about a 1%.
Mm-hmm. And were you saying that those of us that are in the 1% bracket, okay, are...
No. I was saying people in the 1% bracket are not necessarily a bunch of money-grubbing swine.
Oh, okay, because we wanted to be clear on that. If we're in the 1%, which we are, but I don't want to make that the focal of my phone call, we wanted to make sure that there was fair play for us. Now, I don't know, Margaret. You can weigh in if you want.
Weigh in on what, dear?
Well, the fact that the 1%, those of us...
Well, you know, if I wanted to share that with the audience, I suppose I would, but I don't want people to know what it is that Frank makes or what income bracket we're in. I'm not putting you down for it. I just heard someone say something.
It's 18 after. We got to...
Does that mean you're hanging up on me?
No. Hold on. But Nikki just reminded us that we got a break.
Who?
Nikki reminded us.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nikki.
All right, so we're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show as soon as we take our break with Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray. It sounds like they've got an interesting conversation going here about who's in the 1% and who ain't. World famous Phil Henry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And again, our apologies to our Phil TV viewers this evening. We have had a bit of a choppiness with our video cast due to technical difficulties, but we are on that. We're all over it. We are on it. We've got a leg draped over it. We're doing it, man.
Doing it big time.
Right. All right, so Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley with us here from the Western States Homeowners Association and Western States. I was with both these guys today down at LEG and... West LA with the Sklar brothers. And Bobby, Steve was hearing the show coming in.
Well, Steve, you was driving in. Why don't you?
Yeah, I was trying to. Well, I did. I heard that and everything.
You heard me talk about the 1%?
Yeah, and we make. I don't want to say, but.
We are in the 1% tax bracket, and. Not tax bracket. We're in the 1% income bracket. Now, Margaret, you don't want to say.
It isn't that, you know, I don't want to say. I don't know that it's anything we need to share with people.
Well, I think that I agree with you, but I think when it comes to sort of circling the wagons, we don't want people to think that those of us that are in the 1% are people that don't respect the rights of others and don't care about other people. It's just that we want to make sure that we are recognized as being in the 1%, and that we do care about people that we are in the 1%.
What? I lost you there.
Yes, I lost you a little bit, too.
I'm saying that I'm in... Maybe you're not in the 1%, you know?
Are you speaking to me?
Well, yes, I am. Are you in the 1%?
I said I don't want to tell anyone.
What about you, Phil?
I don't want to tell anyone either. You know.
Well, you said so during the pre-show, didn't you?
Ms. Dooley, what's the purpose of the phone call?
The purpose of the phone call is that Steve, my husband, heard you talking about those of us in the 1% being a sort of a caricature of some swine, just a loafing animal, sweating, eating, and defecating, and I take great exception to that.
I never once characterized anybody in the 1% that way. It's ridiculous.
Ms. Dooley, I've been sitting here this whole time. Never did Mr. Henry say that.
Mr. Henry, I heard it coming in.
Yeah, hold on, Steve, I'll do it. He heard you as he turned out of the Vaughn's. Where were you, Steve?
I was coming out of the Vaughn's, and I came up, and I turned.
He was coming out of the Vaughn's on the Ventura Boulevard, coming back toward the west, toward West Hills, because the sun sets over the hills, right?
Yeah, so the sun's setting over the hills in the golden shower.
Because the sun sets over the hills in a golden shower. And before you start thinking the filth, when we say golden shower, we mean the sun setting over the golden...
Well, you're talking about the golden weeds of the hillside. That means there's been no rain. That means it's fire country.
How dare you? That is not what that means.
Yes, it does.
All right, before we talk about fire country, let's get back to this. I never said that the 1% were sweating, defecating, eating swine, or any term like that, Mr. Dooley, and I really resent you mischaracterizing. I don't even think you mischaracterized what I said. I don't think you even were listening to my show, because I didn't say anything like that. I was actually defending people in the 1%. I was saying it's very possible that even if you're making an income of $330,000 a year, you can be a business owner, you can be somebody who is employing people, you can be a person that is, you know, not someone to be categorized or stereotyped. I think it's the most destructive aspect of the whole phony baloney Occupy Wall Street movement that people in the 1% are somehow at fault, and everybody else, 99%, everyone's just cool, man. That's pretty convenient.
Well, all right, I don't know, Mr. Henry, but, I mean, it could, I told Bobby, it's either you're making it sound like...
Get closer to the phone, sir, because you're fading in and out.
Steve, let me have it.
Well,
let me have the phone.
I want to do it.
You don't get to do it. I'm doing it.
I want to do it.
Come here. Come here.
No.
Come here.
Oh.
Ah. I had to slap him.
You know something? Someone ought to arrest you for that. I've heard that twice on your podcast.
Well, I'm sorry. Go over and sit in the corner.
Yeah. Right in the nutsack.
I didn't kick you in the nut. I did not kick him in the nuts, Phil.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
I think that that is beyond to assault someone on the air.
I hit him in the stomach. He took a gut shot. I think every man would benefit from a gut shot.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Phil, if to the extent that you characterize those of us who are in the 1% as being pigs and swine, crapping and eating everywhere, you know something, Phil, there's an old saying, you don't crap where you eat. But, as Steve De Niro... I'm sorry, as Robert De Niro pointed out in the movie Dooley, what was the name of that movie?
Copland.
Copland. I live in a house, and in it I crap and I eat. So you do crap where you eat. See? See, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, I...
What?
I don't know what you're talking about now, but...
You don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think anyone does, dear.
I'm saying that the... Let me go put some ice on my husband's nuts. I'm sorry. Let me go put...
All right. Thank you very much.
That woman, and you spent the afternoon with that idiot?
Your voice is drying out, General.
Yeah, you better believe it is. You spent the afternoon with that numbskull.
I spent the afternoon with her and Steve and the Sklar brothers. It was a lot of fun. They did a great job. Ms. Dooley, it's well known to those of us who've worked with her for a long time, never misses an opportunity to tell everybody how, quote, wildly successful her husband's landscaping business is and that they live in a very upscale community. So we know she makes money. There's nobody on this show that bemoans or puts down anybody that makes money. Not on this show, you know. But, hey, if there's ever been a rich person in the history of this world that makes the rest of whoever makes the money in this world look really bad, Bobby's right up there, man.
Well, the whole thing of kicking her husband between the legs.
I don't get that. She's been, you know, you're not far off calling the cops, man.
I think you should.
Because on at least two or three other podcasts, I've heard her do that. And I've also heard, not only has she slugged him in the gut, I've heard her slap him across the face, tell him to go sit in the corner. I mean,
I'm beginning to feel sorry for that mental midget, and God knows I shouldn't.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com is our online store. If you are of a mind to get yourself some Phil Hendry gear, we got shot glasses, we got coffee mugs, we have T-shirts, ball caps, we have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie and Teds of Beverly Hills T-shirt. That hoodie comes in real handy, man, for those long, beautiful walks on the beach at night. Oh, you mean you don't live near? Well, for those long, beautiful walks in the wheat field at night. And also the Bobby Dooley, whatever, keychain. We'll be back. Welcome back to Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
What is that music?
Don't worry, Margaret, okay?
It's well, that's the Satan right there.
Is that Satan influenced?
Why? Because the guy is no. It's I already told you yesterday. Nikki pointed out to us that that band O Sleeper is a Christian band, and that guy does all of that kind of demon squealing. So. No.
It doesn't represent. It doesn't necessarily represent the demon.
No. When those guys are going, no, it represents guys that are singing like weird.
Well, I find it extremely disturbing. But there was one where the man was going, I don't even call that singing. See, singing to me is, do a deer, a female deer.
What? What is that? That's worse than any demonism.
What did you say?
Hey, watch it, Margaret. He doesn't understand the song.
Doesn't understand? You've never heard the song, Doe a Deer, a Female Deer.
That's not what it's called.
Well, what are you talking about? That's not what is the song that I'm singing?
I don't know. It's a song from, what's it from, General?
I don't know what that song's from. Do I look like some fairy in a waistcoat? All I want to know is about the demon.
What? So you have to be a fairy to know that song?
I know. It's called Sound of Music, right?
Sound of Music. Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Sound of Music. Doe a deer, a female deer.
What's it called?
I guess it's called Doe a Deer, a Female Deer.
Yes. Isn't that what it is?
I don't know. So what about it?
That's singing to me, not someone going, yeah, 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 yeah. Play that one song, please.
Come on, Margaret.
Play the song.
Moth to Flames or,
I don't know. The Garbage. Play some of The Garbage.
Oh, okay. I'll play some of The Garbage. Here is that group, O Sleeper. These cats, I think,
Oh, God.
Now, that, yeah, no, see, that right, that is the Demon Legion.
It's not, man. That group, those are Christians.
If those are Christians, then I'm the Pope.
They are. They're a Christian band.
That's a Christian band, you're saying?
Yeah. Ain't that right, Nikki?
That is right.
Well, I'll be dipped and re-dipped, man. I'll tell you, if they're a Christian band, then I hope to be reincarnated as a sheep. And yes, a sheep herder can have his way with me.
All right, turn it off, for God's sake.
I prefer doe a deer. Ooh, a dee, dee, dee. What about that kind of singing? I know it seems like old hat, but I love it so.
Of course you do, Margaret. You're a traditionalist and you're into the classics.
Someday Old Sleeper could be a classic. You wait and see.
Oh, yeah, right. You and what army?
What?
What does that mean, you and what army?
That's a good comeback.
Someday O Sleeper is going to be a classic. Wait and see. Yeah, you and what army?
You know, Phil, there are so many comebacks for what you just said, but I'll let you go.
Okay, great.
Well, you know what? You've got a look on your face like you won. No, you didn't.
Margaret.
Margaret, just let it go, for God's sake.
Which country has the highest tax rate?
Oh, God, are you still on that one?
Yeah, but son, you did that last half hour.
Well, I'm still doing it because we never did get into the story. I got Bobby Dooley on the line, and she's talking to her husband. She gut-shotted him, kicked him between the legs. In which countries? Income tax has been a political hot potato for decades. In 1966, the Beatles released their song Tax Man as a protest against the 95% super tax rate introduced by Harold Wilson's Labour government, which the band had to pay. The top rate of tax in the UK is less than half that now, but it's still a source of controversy. In France, President François Hollande's election campaign promised to tax salaries above 1 million euros. That's 830,000 pounds. 830,000 pounds is 1 million euros. And any salary above 1 million euros in France would be taxed at 75%. It was met with howls of protest by the rich, who Hollande once said he didn't like. His policy was struck down by the courts in 2012, who ruled it unconstitutional, but he amended it so that the employer became liable to pay it. To put this in context, the football club Paris Saint-Germain they've got to pay nearly 35 million euros to the government on star striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic, net annual salary of 11 million euros. What? They got to pay 35 million euros for an 11. God, man.
See, that's taxing the rich.
Tax rates do vary dramatically depending on which country you live in. The accountancy firm PricewaterhouseCoopers, the same guys that do the Academy Awards.
Well, that was Pricewaterhouse. I've never heard of these idiots.
I think it's probably the same company, Margaret.
They probably just merged with Cooper.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. These idiots. Has crunched the numbers for the G20 nations. For each country, they calculated how much a high earner on a salary of $400,000, £240,000 in 2013, with a mortgage of $1.2 million, would have left after all income tax rates and Social Security contributions. What are you talking about, man? Are you telling me that a cat that makes $400,000 a year can afford a $1.2 million house?
Well, why wouldn't he be able to afford that? That's over $30,000 a month.
Yeah, but I mean, that seems like a waste, you know? I mean, you're talking about a mortgage payment that's got to be around $10,000 a month. That's a 25%. All right, if they want to do it. I wouldn't. Not me, man. In fact, never mind.
Well, Phil, when you get up to that rarefied air...
Like I said, how do you know I'm not there already? But I'm telling you, I would never, ever pay that mortgage. No, not today, not with the economy the way it is today. No way. You know, there was a time, but not now. Anyway, for each country, they calculated how much a high earner on a salary of $400,000 with a mortgage of $1.2 million would have left after all income tax rates and Social Security contributions. They assume this person is married with two children, one of them aged under six. Here are their findings in each country. The wage earner takes home the following proportion of his or her salary. Now, it goes from the least to the most. The country with the highest tax rate, or at least the country where the earner takes home the least amount of money in the world, is Italy. I'm assuming this is in developed or developing nations. 50.59%. So they would take home $202,000 out of a $400,000 salary. And it gets better for the wage earner after that. So these are the findings. The wage earner takes home the following. In India, they take home 54.9%. 54.9%. The United Kingdom, a country that had that 95% tax, now they're third among developed countries or developing countries. 57.28% you take home after taxes. In France... the country that just had this guy that hates the rich, 58% they take home. Canada, 58%.
Oh, my. Well, where's America?
America? No, wait. This is America. It's getting better. So we're further down the list. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so in other words, United Kingdom still blows a chipmunk.
What does he mean, blows a chipmunk?
So in other words, the United Kingdom is still high up on taxing people. Okay, I got that all wrong, guys. So Italy is the worst, India is the second worst, and United Kingdom is the third worst. France, 58% you take home. Canada, you take home 58.13%. Canada's almost tied there with France. In Japan, 58.68%. In Australia, 59.3%. And there's the United States coming in at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th. 60.45%, and that's based on the New York sales tax, because New York you actually pay a city income tax. Germany follows the United States. You take home 60.61%. South Africa, 61.78%. China, 62.5%. Argentina, 64.2%. Turkey, 64.64%. South Korea, 65.75%. Indonesia, 69.78%. Mexico, 70.60%. And Brazil, 73.32%. Now, you'll notice the more money you take home, the more, like, downtrodden the country.
What are you talking about?
Are you kidding me or something? Brazil with the death squads? Mexico with the drug wars? Indonesia, God knows what's going on there, except, probably it's a fantastic society when Muslim fanatics aren't blowing up nightclubs. Turkey, well, there's a place that's just fantastic when it comes to human rights. China, they don't... So in other words, the more money, the more that the wealthy take home, it almost is a correlation between the wealthy earn more money in countries that are, like, right on the verge of, if not totally, under the control of the police, man, or at least our country's verging on some kind of lower-class anarchy, you know?
Phil, you don't know anything about Brazil. Now, I agree with you.
Margaret, your bias is showing...
Hold on, no. I agree with Phil that the countries could do better, and I fully support taxing the rich to help the poor. But Brazil is a gorgeous country. We stayed there last year with Senor Yanin, who is one of Frank's former law partners. He has a beautiful villa overlooking Rio de Janeiro. Have you been to Carnival? You haven't lived until you've been to Carnival.
Margaret, you know, excuse me for saying this, but you sound like so many American, wealthy American tourists.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means just this. You're just thrilled and enthralled by the beauty of a country because the only part of that country you see from the balcony of somebody's wealthy estate or villa, or you see it from a limousine, or you see it from a beautiful restaurant, or you see it from a yacht. You're not seeing it the way the poor people see it or the way the working class see it. Of course, it's a gorgeous country to you.
So you think I'm some entitled cow, is that it?
Well, that's kind of what he's saying.
All of you, and you're all men, and I want the record to show that I'm saying this to nothing but men, all of you can kiss my... Excuse me.
Ass?
Yeah, I think she was going to say ass.
Well, but, you know, she may have a point.
She doesn't have any point.
I do too, Phil.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, I understand Brazil's a beautiful country. I bet you Turkey's a beautiful country. I bet you Indonesia's a beautiful... All these countries are beautiful. Every time I talk to somebody that's been to some crap hole of a country, and they say, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. Yeah, I'll bet it's beautiful, man, when you got some rich friend that's showing you the sights. Nah, I ain't buying it, man. Although I would like to visit Turkey because I hear the women are fantastic. All right, we'll be back.
No, that's not what I heard. The women in Turkey are men.
Thanks for the warning. All right, we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, online and live and mobile on TuneIn and the Phil Henry website. Go grab it. Listen to us. Love you. Can't live without you. I'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Again, we're online at... TuneIn, live and mobile. So if you want to listen to the show live, you can do it on your smartphone. All you need is a TuneIn app, or you can listen to us on our website. We are mobile at philhenryshow.com. You know, the smartphone has become the transistor radio, if you will, of modern times, but it's so much more. It's a computer. It's a television set. It's an audio platform. It's your phone. It's, good Lord, it's a place where you go to play games. It is an amazing thing. And, of course, it's where you go and check in with your Facebook friends. So what do you do without your phone, man?
Well, you said something the other day that's very true. Losing your phone is almost, it's worse than losing your wallet.
Way worse. It's a lot worse than losing your wallet because on your phone, man, you everything is there. Everything is in this phone. Everything. I mean, I've got bank account numbers. I've got,
probably got nude pictures.
Is that what I got, bud? Nude pictures, huh?
What are you yelling for?
What are you yelling for?
All right, Phil, don't get angry.
Well, that's none of your business, man.
Now, what are you yelling for, though, bud?
Dad just said you got a nude picture.
Really? Do I have nude pictures? Do you have nude pictures?
Why are you numbskulls yelling?
Tell this guy to quit yelling.
Yeah, you're embarrassed about it.
Oh, yeah? Am I embarrassed about it? Let me yell a little louder, bud, so you can hear me.
What are you acting like a retard for?
A retard? No, I'm not acting like a retard. Why are you acting like a retard? Why don't you talk like a normal human being, okay? So what is it? I have nude pictures in here? Do I really, bud? Have you been going into my phone and looking?
No, but I bet you do. I bet you got nude pictures from girls what sent them to you.
Wouldn't you like to know, man? I bet you'd like to be me, man, just to have my phone. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe. For like 2 minutes. Then I get so sick of it, I want to be somebody else.
What a jackball. Wow.
Bud, you're losing with every breath you lose.
Yeah, well, do you?
None of your business.
No, I'm sorry, seriously, do you have a new picture?
None of your business.
Now, Phil, now you've got me interested. Do you or do you not have nude pictures of women in there?
None of your business.
Well, Phil, that's a yes, everyone.
No,
everybody, it's a yes.
No, it's not necessarily a yes. No, it is not.
That really is a yes.
No, it is not a yes. I'll tell you, do you want to know the answer?
Yeah.
It's no, I do not.
You're lying now.
No, I feel that I have to be honest. Now I have to tell you because Margaret's just blown it.
Oh, really? Did I blow it? How did I blow it?
Because you're making everybody think I do. I do not. The answer is no, I do not. But I was saying it's none of your business because it's none of your business, man. Do you have nude pictures in your phone?
Maybe.
I should have known he'd answer that, honestly.
Well, that's not exact. Do you have nude pictures or not? Do you have them of your girlfriend?
I'm not going to say. Maybe I do. She sent me one, but I don't know if I erased it or not.
Never mind.
Do we have to continue with this conversation?
Well, Margaret, I think it's only fair if Frank has any nude shots of you.
You've got some pair on you asking a question like that.
Well, I think it's only fair. Does Frank Gray have nude shots?
What are you asking?
You know it. Does he have the lo-fi spread?
What are you calling it a lo-fi spread for?
Get Frank on the phone.
Oh, great.
No, you guys have, your minds are swimming in a cesspool tonight once again. I thought I could keep your brains out of the cesspool, but I guess not. Is that Frank?
Yeah, Miss Gray?
Frank Gray.
Frank, it's Margaret.
Yeah, Margaret.
The guys here are asking me if you've got nude pictures of me on your phone. Now, I'll let you answer that question honestly.
Well, I don't know if I should answer that question. Who's asking the question?
Phil and everyone.
I didn't ask that question. The general did.
Frank, it's General Gray. I did.
All right. Hold on. Yeah, I have him drop it over there. I'm out here. We're testing the latest Tesla. You know the Tesla, Phil?
Yeah, the electric car?
Yeah, we're testing it out here. Riverside right now, but I think that this is the old Riverside track where they have converted it into a test track, but I think this is going to be fantastic. Here it comes again. We've got Terry Doheny. Here it comes again. Look at that thing go. Like a bat out of hell.
Yeah. That's it, baby. That's it, baby.
What are you guys doing, putting it through some kind of a time trial?
Yeah, we've got this Tesla electric car that everybody's been talking about, and I got Terry Doheny. She agreed to drive. And I said, all right, let's put it through its paces. Enough of this horse dung. I don't know whether this thing is for real, whether I'm being pitched a loaf, whether this is a full early morning loaf, or what is it, you know? So they've got, what time you got there? So we're putting it through its quarter-mile paces here.
All right, will you answer the question?
What's the question? If I've got pictures of him nude, is that it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what these guys want to know.
Well, wait, hold on. Come on, Terry, yeah. Really, pull out the stops now, baby. Don't go chicken on me. Come on now. Yeah, I like it. I like it. God damn. Boy, she can drive. You know what? She tears the ass right out of any automobile. Right away, you know where you stand. Terry Doheny's one of the best test drivers.
Hello, Billy.
Yeah, do it again, Billy.
Boy, you guys are out there going, so that's kind of interesting. And what are you looking for?
I want to see the 0 to 60. I want to see the wind resistance, compression. I want to know whether he can stay in that seat or not, okay? Because when I put Margaret in that thing, if he can't stay in that seat, all he'll do is complain, you know?
I told you I don't want a Tesla.
Well, that what you want and what's going to happen, those two things are widely divergent things. Now, you want the answer to the question, do I have naked pictures of him? Yes, I do. On my phone? Yes, I do. Are they hot? Brother, I'll tell you right now, they could melt the phone if I left them open long enough. Here he comes again. Yeah. Susan Grable's driving now. He's a great driver.
Okay, so you have...
But I've got pictures of Margaret... Stark raving naked, and he looks good. I've got pictures of him nude, semi-nude. I got one of him in a full nature nude shot where he's just there with a beach ball. Come on, man. Quit pussying around. Boy, she doesn't know how to drive. Put him in it instead.
All right, thanks a lot, Frank.
30 seconds.
Well, don't you want to know about the...
All right.
Let's see. So there. So I was being very honest, and he did say there's one of me, a beach ball shot.
Yeah, showing you're holding the beach ball up in front of your boob.
You are a real, you're a piece of work, you are, bud. You are primeval. You are primordial. You are antediluvian. You're an ape man. That's what you are.
We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Phil Hendry Show.